This is some good stuff. Sean Davis in the booth, providing us with our lead-in music. And if you remember the song from when we first started the show, "The Weather Outside Is Frightful." Yeah. Beth had mentioned, you know, the song just doesn't fit because the weather's not frightful. But they always talk about bear weather, right?
Right.
And I mean, this season, wherever the Bears are playing, especially here in Chicago, that weather has been frightful.
It's been
regardless of the temperature.
Right. What's happening there on the field, kind of thing, right?
Well, I think they're winning 10-7.
Oh yeah, they're doing good right now.
That's good, right?
Yeah.
And the guys will be coming in after us to kind of break down that action. Hopefully, they'll be in a cheerful mood, and that's usually. It has been rare this season. You know, it hasn't been as often as we'd like, but hopefully, that they'll be happy, especially on a holiday weekend. One demographic, one group of American citizens that has been pretty happy. Is basically a lot of kids, right?
Right.
At least the ones, you know, in my general vicinity and the ones that I've talked to, because it's Christmas. So if anybody wants to share, you know, what happened on their Christmas, 312-981-7200, you'll be entered to win some of our gifts that we've got today, including the Michael Simon knife from Ergo Chef and Classic Cinemas movie tickets.
Stuff,
yep.
For sure.
So Beth, your Christmas, you've got three kids.
Right, I have three kids.
Do you guys do like an every other year Christmas? Like, let's not do it this year, or every 4 years, like the Olympics?
We're full on Christmas every year. And they're a little bit older. I've got my youngest is 12, and then I've got a 13, and then I've got a 20-year-old. So we're into, like, you know, the smaller, very expensive gifts. You know, all the electronics.
Is that what they ask for? Is that on the list for Santa? Small, and then
cash.
And then
typically.
Very expensive.
Cash. Gift cards and electronics. That's pretty much, they don't want games. They don't want toys. They don't, you know, maybe a drone.
A drone
would definitely be something they would like. We did not get any drones.
So you guys are out of the whole stuffed animal,
yeah, no,
out of the action figure slash doll.
The funnest stuff that I was able to buy were things from Claire's. You know, like lip
boutique?
Glosses. Yes, Claire's Boutique. I got some, you know, lip glosses and makeup kits and stuff for my youngest. But the rest of it was all kind of like, you know, all electronic stuff. You know, they want, you know, all the games for video games and stuff like that, too.
I can't remember exactly what, because, you know, I've always been a guy, you know, so I was, you know, I never got into makeup or anything.
Always?
Yeah, always.
Like, ever
I mean,
since you
going down, I'm not going to put that pressure on everyone, but for me,
yeah,
I was always, I lost my headphones. I've always been a guy, so I don't necessarily remember, like, when the girls got into makeup. We've got three kids. We've got a 9-year-old boy, a 7-year-old girl, and a 4-year-old girl, and our 7-year-old, she's really fashion forward. She seems to know what's in style, seems to want it.
About when it starts to happen, you know, and she probably is like pulling from like the Disney days with the princesses and stuff like that too. Is she still sort of into that? Or
sure,
yeah,
yeah, sure. I mean, she'll wear a you know, a Disney princess costume now and then, but her Grams got her some cool riding boots, and then she got from one of her friends in their grab bag at school, she got a some lipstick, and
yeah,
7-year-old lipstick. You know, as a parent, you want to come down. You at least want to come down with an opinion,
like,
no, this is, you're too young for lipstick, which she is, just from a messiness standpoint.
Sure,
because seems
yeah.
everything gets on the wall.
It'll get on the carpet, the
yeah.
wall, and the dresser. Yeah.
Yep. But I don't know. So as your daughter's a little bit older, at what point did you decide that was okay? Is it
this
okay?
This is about yet? It. This is the first year that she's gotten any kind of like actual makeup. This was the first year, and she was a little uncomfortable with it at first. She was like, a makeup kit, can I wear makeup? And I said, you know, with your friends around the house, sure, not to school. So we're not quite at the like leaving the house with makeup on, just kind of more of the fun with friends sort of thing. And then we got her the chalk for the hair to change her hair color. She's a little blondie, she's not like me, dark. She's got the, you know, so she can get the really pretty streaks in her hair with, you know, pink and
with chalk
blue and it's called hair chalk, and
okay.
That's how they're, it's better than, you know, the permanent thing, Dane, so I'm going
yeah.
with hair chalk.
Oh, definitely. Okay, so you got some hair chalk there. Like, for us, and we've got the 4-year-old Vivi, she is just, I mean, they're so advanced in the way that they use tablets, they steal the phone, they borrow the phone without
yeah.
permission,
mm-hmm.
right? They don't, you know, go to the pawn shop with it. It's in the house and they're using it, but they're logging in and downloading apps and playing games. And so from trying to relate to them as far as your own childhood experience to them, it's just not the same.
No.
But there is the similar thing of seeing movies, having movies be out there. It's such a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then being fans of those movies. And then, of course, demanding or requesting, right,
mm-hmm.
for the toys that are associated with it. So Vivi got a from Santa, if she's listening. Santa was nice enough. Of course, Santa didn't assemble it for her, and they said a half an hour, and it was really more like two. It was a frozen, little motorized frozen car.
So cute. Can she drive it around? Well, it's so nice outside, you can take her outside with it, right?
Yeah.
Has she been outside tooling around in it?
I wish it had better traction. I'm not sure how to make that happen. Because she kind of spins out a little bit. But yeah, the weather's been great, so she got to check it out a little bit. It's got a real annoying loud horn.
Awesome. Of course, that comes with it, the annoying horn.
Yeah, it's got all stickers with I'm telling you, something about that frozen thing, and it's got to be over 2 years old now.
Right.
And I don't know that that's possible, that there's subliminal, like, addictive messages in the music,
something.
But the songs, you know, for kids that are 2 years old to, like, know every word to a soundtrack of a movie seems a little bit odd.
It is. It's kind of been a pretty crazy phenomenon, I think, this Frozen thing. We just missed it. My daughter was just old enough. We enjoyed the movie, but she didn't get, like, so intensely into it. But the little ones are way, way, way into it. Like you said, memorizing the song, completely want everything to do with it. I don't know. I don't really recall a movie being like that for any of my kids. This is a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. It makes you think there's got to be a Frozen 2. Sean, for you and Christmas, what did you get for Christmas? What did you give? Is there still things on the list that people can say, hey, you know what? This was in the car when I saw you, and now they can run to the store and get that last-minute gift for you?
Well, this was kind of a transition for us this Christmas. Our daughter just turned 13.
Oh, no.
So now the type of gifts have kind of changed, and
that's
her mindset towards everything has kind of changed. No longer does she want us to go and buy her clothes for Christmas. She just wants the cash or she wants the gift cards.
It's a little bit sad, right?
Yeah.
It's
she wants to walk around the mall with her friends and doing that type of thing. So I think even for me, it's been a transition as just a father learning how to, okay, now it's another level of fatherhood for me. So it's been a blessing. Actually, it was a great Christmas. I mean, I had to work that night, but that was even a blessing. So,
as did I. It was exciting to be in and great to be in here and have all of the listeners of WGN chime in with their favorite Christmas movies.
Can you guys help me out with something? Because I want to know whether or not I'm a bad person.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Well, first off, I'm gonna proceed it with, unless there's like a death involved or something like that, that I would say no, you're not. But go ahead.
I want to make sure I'm in the Christmas spirit and the holiday spirit. So. The only gift for over 15 years now, I told my mom, don't buy me any presents. She has always made me carrot cake for Christmas.
Mm-hmm. A good carrot cake.
Everybody loves some carrot cake.
Absolutely.
So the problem is everybody is begging for a piece of my cake.
Oh.
And I tell people, this is my gift. This is not like, there are like tons of other cakes and pies that she has to eat.
Sure.
So people really get upset. This past Christmas, I had people offer me $5 for a slice. And I'll give you $5 for a slice.
So tell us, are you sharing at all, or
No, I share.
You did share.
But
okay, that's good.
It's like, let me cut the cake, and I get to cut it whenever I'm ready to cut it.
Right, it's your cake after all.
And once I cut it, then you guys can go ahead and have a piece. But they sweat me so much and bother me so much. I'm trying to enjoy the basketball games. When are you going to cut your cake? And then I catch an attitude like, are you going to give me a percentage of your gift card?
That's right.
Let's go to Starbucks right now with your new gift cards.
Exactly.
How about that?
So I just wanted to make sure that I was being fair, because some people thought I was being unfair when, you know, I wasn't ready to cut my cake and share it.
I think that you're being pretty nice by sharing it all. I don't know if I would, I might share a little bit, but geez.
Well, here's what I think you should do. It's that fine line of being able to take care of yourself, enjoy the Christmas, enjoy your gift, right? Traditionally the gift that you look forward to and enjoy, but also be able to do that whole supply and demand thing. So maybe I think you should get with mom, maybe make a larger cake, and then, right, or maybe have like a VIP portion of the cake that people can either buy into with a donation to their favorite charity.
That's a good idea.
I'll have her make a tester cake.
right.
And the tester cake is for everybody else.
There you go. This cake must be something.
It's amazing.
I mean, if people are waiting in line and bugging you about a piece,
it's absolutely amazing.
Outrageous.
John, I hate to do this, but do you have any cake with you?
I know.
No, I don't.
Matter of fact, carrot cake.
I had to come to work straight from her house, so the cake is still at her house.
Now, do you?
You're brave leaving it there.
Well, I was going to say, like, what does it? what does it cost? What does it take? What does it entail to have a security detail for this very valuable? Right. Everybody back up. It's like the Stanley Cup. There's
I
a guy who walks around.
$50 to watch over it. Oh, until man. I go pick it up tonight.
$50,
so,
wow.
No, I was just joking.
I'll watch much. Over it for you if you'd like. Is it cream cheese frosting?
Yes.
Does she do walnuts?
Walnuts. She puts the little red and green sprinkles on there to give it the Christmas effect.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, I can understand why you might have to have some security around that. You would if I were around that cake. I'm telling you right now.
Well, Sean, thanks.
I would dig right in.
Thanks for sharing in a couple different ways. Certainly with, of course, the listeners here at WGN, and also with your immediate family, right? That seems to need this, and you're there for them in that way. So that's awesome. We did have a texter text in from the 224, I'm glad they brought it up because this is one of those gifts. And you know, the drones have been very good. I've seen a few of those. Fly by in a gift sense during a couple of the Christmas celebrations that I've been a part of, but also the hoverboard, the exploding hoverboard.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if they really sold any of those, because if I'm the guy who makes those and it's on fire and the news, then maybe sales are down.
You know, sales might be down, I would think.
The other one that I have not heard anything as far as it exploding, but this is something that's been very, very popular. I think they've been around for maybe a year or so, maybe more. This is something I would actually kind of want, and I know that that Esther kind of wants one of these, is a Fitbit. So 224, they got a Fitbit HR, and I guess that's the one you need to get.
Cause that's what I have.
It does your heart rate too, right?
Yeah.
Two awards the first day and another one on yesterday. Beth, you'll have to explain exactly what that means. Already did 8,000 steps today, so I'm sure I'll get a text for another one today for exceeding 10,000.
Only 125 and 8,000 steps already. Wow.
And this is an 80-year-old. This is an 80-year-old from the 224.
Wow.
So
impressive.
Yeah, that's one of the things. Longevity is out there. Good health is one of the things that people appreciate as far as a gift. If you can get it, that is one of the most valuable, if not the most valuable thing you can have, and you got to stay active.
That's right.
Right. So 80 years old. So how does the Fitbit work and why is it so popular?
So the Fitbit is, you know, it's this little kind of wristwatch thing, and it, you know, kind of calculates how many steps. It's like a pedometer, but it also, the one that they were talking about, what is it called again? It's the HR,
which I know from some of the requests that I've got for it, it means heart rate.
Yeah.
So it actually, because some of them just keep track of how many steps you do. So you know if you're walking, and it keeps track of calories, I guess, that you lose. And the HR one builds in that heart rate, so it can tell.
Right. And I haven't been patient enough to get online and like do the whole app and everything, because there's an app that goes along with it. So it calculates like everything for you, like how much food you should be eating, all sorts of stuff. It's really, really great, very helpful. The funnest part for me, though, is watching how many steps I take. And it kind of, you look down and you go, oh, I've only gotten 2,000 steps in, and it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I better start going, because you're supposed to get at least 10,000 steps in a day to keep yourself, your health maintained for the day. And, you know, calories that you, you know, burn and eat, you know, if you eat your normal calorie intake, this will help you to burn that off.
It doesn't seem like it's necessary, because you could use one of the pedometers. Is it just the fact that it kind of encourages you, that
there's
it's almost
more.
Like this?
There's more to it. There's an app, and you know, you can put in how much food you've had that day, and it sort of calculates other things for you, like your heart rate and all that stuff. So, you know, it'll even, like, if you do a workout, it'll incorporate that into what your activity level has been that day. So there's a lot of really cool elements to it. Again, I have been just kind of using it as a pedometer. Like, other people really full-on use it. I just haven't, like, dug into the app as much as I probably should have.
But, it is one of those things, definitely, that people have been asking for, people have been getting. So if anybody's got some insight into the Fitbit that they want to share, they can go ahead and do that at 312-981-7200. But as far as some of the other things that people got on Christmas and that they are looking forward to is the opportunity to enjoy New Year's. You know, it's the thing. Christmas is a family, and of course, New Year's is a family thing as well. But for some people, it's one of those nights where they get out, they kind of, you know, kick it up a notch. And of course, you know, great restaurant and entertainment town, Chicago, and certainly the suburbs, has been providing, you know, more and more opportunities for people to do a New Year's Eve. Now, I remember as kind of an adult kid, I think what you could do is either you could go to someone's house, a party, you could hang out and do the whole, you know, ring in the New Year. Or you could go to a hotel with a balloon drop and a band and
the
paper hat and that kind of stuff. So for New Year's, what is it that you look for?
So New Year's with kids, here's the thing. you know, it's difficult because you don't know, you really, to go out, you've got to get a sitter. It becomes very expensive. So we've kind of, in the last probably 10 years, just kind of stayed in with the kids. We go to a Japanese steakhouse, usually is our tradition with the kids. And then we come back and have my sister and her family over, and we put the toothpicks in our eye, keep our eyes open and try and stay up until midnight. The kids, of course, you know, are falling asleep around us, and it's exciting.
I typically don't, handful of years, typically don't go someplace because I don't want to go someplace and then fall asleep at that place. So typically, right. I'm at home when we're doing that. But if you want to call in, 312-981-7200, or text in and share what it is that that you are going to be for doing for New Year's, you can definitely do that. Celebrating is going to be one of the things. When we come back, I think we're going to have Chef Ron Ben Israel, the sweet genius from Food Network, on with us. We're going to take a break right now. It's Danielle in for Frank Fontana on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. It is Danielle in the Allstate Showcase studio for Frank Fontana, 1 till 3 today. Beth Peterson is in studio. Sean Davis is in the control room with the bumper music and also with the amazing carrot cake. So we talked about cake, mm-hmm. and of course we're going to talk about celebrating when it comes to New Year's a little bit later. And a guy that is on the line now is one of the world's most foremost authorities on both cake and celebrating. He is the sweet genius himself, Ron Ben Israel. Welcome to WGN.
Nice to talk to you, Dane.
I'm assuming when you are in, you know, as in demand as you are, it is always a busy time, and that is of course a blessing. But during the holiday time, when there's so many parties and events, do you guys get crazy busy?
Actually, it's the opposite for us, because we do more of a once in a lifetime events, from special birthdays that people want to commemorate. We've done up to 100 year old birthday last year, and of course the first birthdays. And weddings are the mainstay, and special occasions like sweet 16s, bar and bat mitzvahs. So we don't do a lot of holiday cakes unless there are Christmas weddings, which do exist, and New Year's Eve weddings.
Now, with what it is that you do, people love the cakes that you make because it's you, your vision, your thought process. But when you mentioned it, when you're trying to do these one-of-a-kind amazing cakes that can take on and kind of exemplify the personality of the people or the event itself, how do you do that? I mean, how much recon do you do with the people to try to capture what it is they are and the event for the cake?
It's a whole process, and it's complex, because when people call us, you know, we're all very lucky to have such exposure on the internet. So sometimes people call with preconceived ideas, and they even ask us to reproduce cakes that we've done years ago, which I usually resist. So I do ask them to come with an open mind, give me a lot of material for inspiration. We try to get to know the celebrant. We try to get as much as material as possible, but not necessarily a pre-made design. And then we sit together and we discuss and start sketching and see what we can come up with that is different. For instance, I just did a party for twins, a couple of twins, a boy and a girl, that were very close to my heart, and we nicknamed them M and M, because the name starts with an M, and the family name is M as well, Max and Maggie Meister. So we created the likeness in giant M&Ms,
of
course, cake. And they were sitting on a sofa with the legs dangling, and the M&Ms figurines, but they were very large, made out of cake, had the characteristic looks of them. They both wear glasses. She's, of course, very pretty with big lips, big red lips, and wearing fancy shoes. He's more of a sports guy. And they were just 13-year-old. But the cake was the center point of the whole event, which was so nice.
Well, see, that's great. And you mentioned it's a complicated process and you've got to sit with them. But like you said, there's people that have either a preconceived notion or they've got an idea or something that they want to do. And just the fact that they're aware of you means that they appreciate what it is that you've done in the past. So the last time that we talked, you know, you had mentioned, hey, you would like to make a cake for me. I assumed, I'm like, chef, it would just be a beige cake. I'm boring. It would be beige. And you said, no, it would be a colorful cake. So how often through that process do you resist what it is they think, you know, will be best as far as an example, and kind of share what it is that you think would work?
Well, just so you'll know, beige is always in fashion.
Good to know. Nice.
You know, I actually think that a cake for you should have those giant microphones you have on the radio.
Okay.
That could be interesting, right? Or maybe old-fashioned radio microphone.
Well, I'm writing this down, and so then I'll make those suggestions when my once-in-a-lifetime occasion happens, and, of course, you'll be making that cake for sure.
Right. Well, you're too young for you really start to get to know the client and throw ideas together, and some of the ideas are more abstract. They don't have to tell a literal story. But some of the wedding cake, some of the holiday cakes that we did were bright red, like China Christmas red. And then they had shards made out of sugar or chocolate that looked like peppermint. And indeed, the inside of the cake was peppermint. So we played with iconic images of Christmas, but we made them abstract. So it was, we throw snowflakes in, or we did a cake that was inspired by snowflakes, but basically what you saw is snow drifts on the surface of the cake, composed out of thousands and thousands of little icing dots. So you got the impression of a little snowstorm. You know, the ideas are not always the likelihood or the likeness of a person. They can be more inspired by art, by the period, by colors that are hot right now. We've done a lot of cakes this year that are gray, shades of gray. It's been very fashion forward.
Nice. Well, you think about art, and that is one thing I want the listeners to definitely know, is you come from a place of not only, you know, the culinary side, and of course your family with your mom and the cooking and all of those things, but also from an appreciation and art background. A lot of people don't know that that you were a ballet dancer, right? And when people yeah. think that you're all just one thing, just a nice artistic focused ballet dancer on the art side, but also a military background too. I mean, you are this kind of full 360 person bringing it to the cake world.
Oh, first of all, Dan, what makes you a great radio interviewer is that you remember your subjects. So that always makes people feel good. You remember. So thank you for mentioning all that stuff. You know, I have the best employees, and every one of them came from different backgrounds. No one of them started baking and working with cakes necessarily as the first career. We had people who were athletes, people who were designers. People come from all walk of lives and then discover them. And that's one great thing about America. You can really decide to change directions in any point of your life. And people love going to school here. And I think that's why, you know, it's important to remember I immigrated to the United States, and this is time of love and joy and light this time of the year. And I always appreciate the opportunities that America gives to people. You can make out of anything you want out of yourself. So I ended up, after all those careers, the military, being a dancer,
yes.
Going to art school, I ended up making cakes based on all those experiences.
Well, the world is so blessed and of course, thankful that you did that. And you mentioned, you know, people changing things, people deciding to do one career over another career, having those opportunities as people look towards a new year. There are going to be people that are inspired and feel that that cake making and what it is that you do at a high level is kind of their calling to what I thought was really cool when we talked on the phone the other day, is that you are offering an opportunity not only for people to buy the cakes and have the cakes, but actually to learn from you, right? Because you can share some of that knowledge. You guys are doing classes now.
Right, because I moved to a neighborhood that is new to me. It's in the heart of Manhattan, New York City, and it's called the Garment District. This is where 95% of everything we used to wear was manufactured. The building that I am has 17 floors, and until a few years ago, it was all filled with manufacturers. We actually moved to a floor that used to be a shoe factory. Unfortunately, only 5% of what we wear in America is now manufactured here, and the rest is done overseas. Even though I have to tell you, there are signs that more and more younger people are taking over and showing an interest in producing things. So small coffee roasters, bean-to-bar chocolate makers. We have in the area a person that does only belts or bags, and they're very proud of making the item goods in America. I know it may sound like I'm scattered, but it's all connected. And when we move to the neighborhood and the spaces here are very large, and I realize that I'm taking larger space than what I need for the actual baking, I said we could use it for events and classes. And so far the classes have been amazing because people like to join us while we bake the cakes for the clients and while we do all the design work, and they study side by side with us. So it's actually, the move turned out to be very fruitful.
Before we let you go, we definitely want to get some information on how people can go ahead and participate in some of those things. And so let's talk about, as we get towards, of course, here it is, the holiday time, we're getting towards 2016. Are there any other cool things that you guys are working on, events that people would love to hear about, or things that you've got in the works that people would find exciting?
Well, I've been very lucky because of the exposure of Food Network. Since I started filming a series for the Food Network, I've been invited to lecture and participate in events all over the world. So it's been so amazing. I've been to Mexico and to Colombia and, of course, all over the United States. So I can tell you about some of the next events that are coming this year. There's going to be a very interesting conference like in the Los Angeles area, in Los Angeles per se actually, in February, and it's called CookieCon, LA CookieCon. It's two guys that used to go to Comic-Con decided to bring it to the sweets world.
Nice.
So the first event was last winter, and it was amazing. You had 3,000 people sampling free sweets and cakes and competitions, lectures, classes. And the reception was so good, so they decided to invite me this year. And this year it's going to be running for 2 days. And all the best bakeries from California are going to be there, lots of giveaways and things like that. So, but I know that those types of events are not, they're all over the United States. People love to eat, of course, and they love sweets. So I think somewhere there's always something happening in that area. And a lot of the events around food also support charities. So the proceeds many times go to the needy, and my main charity is always hunger. So here in New York City, I work with City Harvest, which was the first organization to rescue food from restaurants and hotels. So one joy that I have is while traveling and participating in different sweets events is also that some of the proceeds from all this wonderful excess of sugar and sweets will go to the hungry. Because we should never forget that sweets are nice, but somebody else is malnutritioned.
It's an amazing thing to be able to give back in all those ways, and that the thought process is there to be able to support those great causes. I know one of the last times that I actually saw you in person, you were at the New York City Wine and Food Fest at an event there, and of course they support Share Our Strength as well. So when is the next time all of your fans are going to be able to see you right here in person in Chicago?
Oh, actually, now that you mention, I'm coming to Chicago in March for a totally, it seems unrelated, but it's the, I'll give you the exact name, it's a tabletop and houseware show. Let me look for the exact name.
It is called the International Home and Houseware Show, and you will be live on that main stage. I think it'll be the KitchenAid Cooking Theater, I'm guessing. That's awesome that you'll be here. We love that.
Yeah, thank you. I'd love to see everyone, but there is a secret reason why I'm going to be there, which I can only hint at. But, Dane, wouldn't you like to bake in a Ron Ben Israel cake pan?
I would love.
Maybe cook some pasta and use my customized tools. It could be very interesting for you. Just think about it. Mull it over.
Now, Chef, not everybody can have your passion or your talent.
But you can have my recipe.
And they can have some recipes. And then hopefully, if all goes well down the road, maybe everyone can someday elevate their baking in their home with some of these great products. I think that's exciting.
It's exciting. And I always want to remind them to take a deep breath and enjoy it, because people are so afraid of baking and measuring, and they feel that cooking is for them, but baking is for somebody else. But I think that baking is an amazing process. The baking is an amazing process, and it's for the whole family. It's such a joy to bake with kids and have everybody. anybody around. I actually, when I go to a holiday party, I bring a semi-finished dessert, and I finish it with the guests.
Wow.
Maybe the pie will be half-baked, and then we'll put it in the oven for a few more minutes, or I will whip the cream for the topping. So desserts can be interactive, and they don't have to be that complicated. So if you come and see me at the show, I promise to give some recipes and show things that can be made in an easy way before we start putting together wedding cakes. That will be the next time.
Well, people love it when they can get something that he has baked. It's even better if you can get involved and bake with him. You can see him, of course, in Chicago in March for a very secret reason that we'll divulge as we get closer to that event. And CookieCon out in Los Angeles. And, of course, you can always see him on West 38th Street in New York at Ron Ben Israel Cakes. So, Chef, thanks so much for being in the show. And for people who want to keep up with all your adventures, what's that website, that amazing and exclusive website?
WeddingCakes.com.
That's it. That's it,
WeddingCakes.com. And let's not forget that all the recipes that me and my fellow chefs from the Food Network contribute are available for free at foodnetwork.com. And the interesting thing is that a lot of recipes you find out there on the World Wide Web are not necessarily tested, but every recipe on the foodnetwork.com site has been given by a chef that you see on the air and then has been tested carefully at our food kitchen, test kitchen. So you can trust that even a baked cake will rise with no problem if you follow the instructions.
Just follow the instructions. Follow the lead of the leader. He is one of the world's foremost and favorite cake authorities and personalities, the sweet genius himself. Chef Ron Ben Israel, thanks so much for being in WGN.
Thank you, Dane. And promise me you'll go home and start baking.
I'm on it right now.
Oh, I can smell it all the way.
Thanks, Ron. You know, I'm actually, there's been like a theme here. I am inspired to go to get a Fitbit. Well, I don't know, before or after Fitbit, and then get some cake. And I'm going to ask Sean for his mom's recipe on the carrot cake.
The cheesecake. You got to have the cheesecake. It's all about balance. You got to have the cheesecake, the Fitbit, and then a little bit of Ron Ben Israel.
And then an AED.
Yeah.
Afterwards. All right. It is Dane Neal in until 3 p.m. in the Allstate Showcase Studio. It is 720 WGN. WGN. It is Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase Studio on what is a Christmas weekend, and so many people out there, you know, getting and giving and loving and sharing. Mm-hmm. And a little bit after the 2 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking with Jessica Miller. She's the communications director for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. We've all heard of it. We all know sort of what it is that they do, but we're going to get an in-depth kind of picture into how they're changing and enhancing kids' lives, and certainly how you can get involved as well. Just as this guy did, we've got Matt Snell on the line. Matt, welcome to WGN.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Beth. How are you?
Good. How are you?
So, Matt, when we hear about Make-A-Wish, typically the story is, and as it should be, is about the kids, right? Those kids, the experiences they're having, how, you know, they're kind of overcoming some of the challenges that they're faced with some of the things that Make-A-Wish is doing. But I wanted to have you on, and it was great for Beth to connect us, that because you were actually one of those guys, you know, helping from the business side or from the fundraising side.
Yeah, we've spent a lot of time, my wife and I, and a number of volunteers and committee members since about 2008 in raising money for Make-A-Wish. You know, I'm very, very happy to say that since then we've raised just a little over $200,000 since then. So we've granted the wishes of 35-plus kids in and around the Chicagoland area. So, you know, very happy to be able to give back and help those that, you know, are in need of it.
Well, my favorite part of this, Matt, is kind of how you got started. Like, you know, in 2008, that this just kind of was like a gathering in the neighborhood, and now it's grown into this big thing. Tell us about how you got started.
It originally started just as it was an Oktoberfest in our backyard. In the first year, I think we had about 50 people that came and, you know, had good food and beer and everything and had a great time and raised a little bit of money. And since then it grew. And after it got up to about 300 people in our yard, we knew that we couldn't support that anymore at home. So we kind of changed the theme of it a little bit, went away from the Oktoberfest theme, and I'm a big fan of chili. Love cooking chili, love eating chili. We turned it into a chili cook-off, and so we've had as many as 700 to 750 people attend.
Wow. You know, I was wondering, when it first got suggested to me, and we've got to talk to Matt, I'm thinking to myself, personally, I love chili. But I wasn't sure how many kids had made it one of their wishes to eat chili. But now I get the full picture. Is you use the chili event to raise money to then grant those 35 wishes. And before we let you go, mention a couple of ones that you've granted or you've helped kids do some different exciting things. What were they?
Yeah, it's Make-A-Wish creates or grants so many great wishes around the area. It really depends on the kid. There's been kids that have met Joe Camilla and involved with the Bulls. Certainly the number one wish that is granted is going to Disney World. So a number of the children, I know our money is going towards sending them down to Disney World. We've had kids that have gotten a full basketball court in their backyard. Proud to be part of all that. There's a lot of folks that work on that side of the organization that I'm sure Jessica is going to talk about as well, the wish granters who work so hard to make sure that those kids get exactly what they want.
Well, I was at the Make-A-Wish event, the chili cook-off this year, and I ate my weight in chili. It was so good. The folks that you have coming out to share their chili with everybody. They really take it very seriously. You had some great judges out there, too, this year.
Yeah, it was a great lineup of judges. And I'll tell you what, the restaurants, the majority of our competitors are local restaurants. And we've really turned it into this, it's a community-type feel. It's the folks from the community that are coming. It's, the smaller restaurants that are in and around our community that are cooking and donating, their food and their time to the event. And as you said, the lineup of our judges, a couple former Bears, Jason McKee, Adrian Peterson, some great local chefs came as well as some food bloggers. So it was a great lineup all the way around. And our goal is just to make it a great experience. Enjoy the chili, enjoy the music, meet the judges, take pictures with them. But the other key thing that we do as well is we make sure we have some of the families there that have benefited from what Make-A-Wish delivers. So having those parents and those children there that folks can hear their stories and hear what they've gone through and hear how this wish really kind of changed not only the child's life, but the entire family's life.
It's
is really, really powerful.
It is inspiring stuff with so much, negative and depressing things going on in the news on a regular basis. It's awesome to see people doing really wonderful things. And before we let you go, and we've got to get to the news break right now, but Matt, if you want to give out your email address or website before we go.
Sure. If anyone can get information on it by going to www.chilikickoffcookoff. So just about chili and football. Chili Kickoff Cookoff. And we're also on Facebook as well. Chili Kickoff Cookoff.
Matt Sal, we love what you're doing. We love the cause. We also love chili. Thanks so much for being in WGN.
Thank you very much for having me.
Bye, Matt. Have a great day.
All right. It is Dane Neal in for Frank Fontana until 3 on 720 WGN.
No matter how your heart is grieving, if you keep on believing, the dream.
WGN, it is Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Sunday till 3 in for Frank Fontana. And excited to have him. And we talked with Matt a little bit before the break, and he is one of those guys that is creating events that are supporting the Make-A-Wish Foundation, being able to, just get some of those very valuable funds that make those wishes possible, right?
Yeah, and he just kind of took it upon himself. And, people can make such a big difference when they do things like that. And he's been doing it since 2008. So it's really incredible.
We're all kind of familiar with Make-A-Wish. We know that it is an organization that takes kids who have health challenges. We always think of them as life-threatening or life-ending health challenges and be able to give them what I guess would then turn out to be their dying wish, right? It's a small kid. They've always wanted to go to Disney World. They've always wanted to meet this celebrity.
Yeah.
But there are things about Make-A-Wish that we don't know because that's not necessarily the case. It's health challenges, right? And there's ways that the kids are enjoying wishes and hopefully some of those experiences can kind of energize them into better health. And then so we wonder, look, who who can have a wish granted for them, how can people get involved, and the person's going to help us with all that information as we, I mean, this is the time of year when people are getting things and thinking of things, but these organizations and these kids need help and support 365 days a year.
Year
so this may be a day when people are thinking wishes are coming true, mm-hmm. right? But they need help all the time. In studio, we've got Jessica Miller. She's the communications manager for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Jessica, welcome to WGN.
Good afternoon. Hey, thanks Jessica. For having me.
Yeah, no, thanks for being here. I think this is great. And for me, there's a personal reason why I thought to have you in is my brother-in-law, Oliver Corpus, is a guy that has, so as long as I have known him, he has been granting wishes, or one of those wish grant. It's kind of an ambassador. I don't know that he's personally making the things happen, but certainly being a chaperone to the kids and kind of helping lead them, you know, through what it is their wish is. And so I wondered, I was talking with him. There's so many things about Make-A-Wish that we don't know. So it's great to have you in studio.
Thank you. Thank you. And I know Oliver as well. And he is one of about 1,700 volunteers that we have in Illinois. And he holds the role of wish-granting volunteer. So he actually does go out and meet with our families. And
wish-granting volunteer. Mm-hmm. That is a great title.
Yeah. And he helps to discover what it is that the child is wishing for. Mm.
How does that process work? And we'll get into that in just sure. 1 second. But what kind of kids are the ones that are eligible for support from Make-A-Wish?
So we grant the wishes of children with life-threatening medical conditions. You had that exactly right. A case does not necessarily have to be terminal for a child to have a wish, but it needs to be life-threatening. Children come to us with cancer or certain types of muscular dystrophy, cystic fibrosis, mm-hmm. organ transplants. Unfortunately, our children face a whole host of medical conditions that can be pretty complicated and scary. And so our goal then is to bring them a little brightness mm-hmm. into their lives. So they also just need to be under 18 and live in Illinois. That's it.
And so how does the process begin? Do they apply?
So a child can apply, him or herself.
Can they be nominated?
They can be nominated okay. by a parent or a family member. A lot of times doctors or nurses working with them or social workers, even school nurses, will refer them for a wish. So that's how they get into our system. And then we, of course, do our due diligence. We verify their condition with their doctor. And once they're medically qualified, we grant every wish. So, there's no waiting list.
Do some of them have to, do they come to you with a wish? Or sometimes, I would think sometimes they just know that they want something fresh in their life, something new to happen. Do they come to it with maybe not having a wish? Do you guys help guide them a little bit?
It happens both ways. Some mm-hmm. kids know exactly what they want.
Right.
And other kids,
I want to meet Taylor Swift.
Exactly. And she's wonderful help. You know, she grants a lot of wishes with us. And but other kids need some time. And that's actually part of the fun of the process is thinking about what could be. What are the possibilities? And so, you know, when they're spending time sitting in the hospital waiting for another test or another surgery, we encourage them to think about what kinds of things would you want to do for your wish?
Well, and Oliver kind of mentioned on that whole consultation for the wish granting is that you get in there and you make sure that what it is that everybody's going to work towards for the kid is something that the kid really wants, that it's their wish, as opposed to maybe the family thinks
sure.
it would be fun for this, but the kid's not really crazy about that. You know,
right.
it's just something that's suggested.
Absolutely. Our volunteers are trained to kind of tease out the essence of what it is that they're really looking for. We really want to get to the heart of what that child wants. And I think you mentioned, you know, more than half of our wishes are Disney related. And that's a wonderful wish and we make it very special for every child. But some people come to us with the misperception that we only grant wishes for Disney and that's not true. So we want them to think beyond that and really what is going to make their heart soar.
Well, we're here with Jessica Miller. She's the communications manager for Make-A-Wish Foundation, 312-981-7200. If you have a child that you want to get some information on, get some questions on how it works or how to apply or how to be a part of it, or if you have a story, just like Matt did, you know, where either you supported the organization from the company side or maybe your child was supported, you know, and you guys had an experience with it, you can definitely text in at 312-981-7200 or call in. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the wishes. Jessica had mentioned people think it's all Disney World. Certainly there is a good percentage of Disney World,
absolutely.
But we've got everything from meeting athletes athletes to attending wrestling events to even wanting to become an airline pilot, right?
Oliver absolutely.
Was part of that. So it's going to be some exciting stuff as we learn a little bit more about Make-A-Wish and learn how we can support and get involved. It's Dane Neal in until 3, 720 WGN.
Cream-colored ponies and crisp apple strudels, doorbells and sleigh bells and schnitzel with noodles, wild geese that fly with the moon on their wings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Love it, my favorite thing. 720 WGN, it is Dane Neal in studio. All-State Showcase on Michigan Avenue, and in studio with us, Jessica Miller, Communications Manager for Make-A-Wish Foundation. We've got Beth Peterson as well to my right, and what we're talking about is Make-A-Wish. Now, that song kind of made me think of, does anyone, they get experiences, right? That's what it is. They want to go and do things. They want to go and meet someone. Nobody asks for a cream-colored pony and gets it, do they?
Yeah. Yeah, we've done that.
Or is it just time with a cream-colored pony?
No, we have granted wishes for horses and dogs. And.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I did not know that. Earlier in the break, we all heard Jessica mention, and this is the thing that we think about, Disney World. That's a great place to go. And a lot of kids want to make it there, you know, at some point, especially if they've got challenges in life where that could be at risk. You know, let's get out there. Let's do it. Oliver, I know, has been to Disney World with some of the kids as well. But let's talk about some of the other things that come out of left field. Sometimes you probably, in the 10-plus years that you've been there, you've probably heard it all. But what are some of the wishes that kind of surprise you?
Well, we this past October, we had a very busy weekend. We called it our superhero weekend. We had a child who wished to be a superhero, which was really great because, you know, the whole community got involved, and police department helped, and local helicopter company, and he was fighting villains all the way down Navy Pier.
I feel like I saw something on this.
His name is Eric. His superhero name is Blue Steel. And he was great. And then it ended with his fourth birthday party. So that was really fun. But then the other day of that week, we were working with a production company here in town because we had a kiddo who wanted to film a superhero movie. So Echo was the superhero name, and the child was Donovan. And he filmed a movie all over town with some bad guys. And it just finished production, and it just premiered with his family on the other day. And will be in wide release later this month or next month. Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, so it goes from meeting a celebrity, which could probably take, you know, all of maybe a couple hours, you know, start to finish kind of thing, to things like creating a movie. Now, are there limits? It seems like, you know, if the kids can suggest, you guys will at least work towards trying to make some version of that happen. But are there limits to what can be done?
Absolutely, there are a few limits. Certainly, we don't want anybody to get hurt. Everything must be medically cleared through
the
doctor.
So if a kid says, I would like other people to be hurt, you have to say no.
Well, we don't, you know, even for our travel wishes, we have to get approval from their treating physician to make sure it's okay for them to travel. So, that you know, those types of things sometimes put limitations. Some celebrities are not readily available just because of their schedules, so sometimes we can't grant those. And we do have to make sure that we protect the integrity of our organization, so we can't grant something that's going to bankrupt us. Other than that, we're pretty open to just about anything and trying to figure out how to make it happen.
Yeah, you have to probably get creative.
Absolutely.
Right? Sometimes, you know, you want to make sure that they get the experience that they're looking for, but maybe they can't do the traveling, or maybe it's just going to be too expensive, but you could do some version of it.
Absolutely. We have done things where we, again, have worked with Disney, and the child hasn't been able to travel there, but we've been able to get Mickey to come here and have a party for the child with
Whoa.
Like Mickey,
Mickey's a pretty big star.
He's a big star. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it just, all of those things we try and figure out, again, what is that is going to really touch their heart. It might not just be a day or a thing. It might be the experience of it.
Sure. Locally, earlier we heard Matt talk about the Chili Cook-Off and how this is an event that he loves and that people love. And he was taking the proceeds and putting it towards, that's one way that people can do it. I'm sure that your, you know, just average everyday citizen can just donate, you know, if they want to support it. One of the
Illinois.wish.org.
Illinois.wish.org. You can get on there. I'm sure there's a way that you can support it through the website.
Yeah.
One of the things that I think is really cool is is for these, like for Disney, is there, do they give, do they have some kind of like, hey, we're going to work with you guys. If you guys bring somebody in, as long as they're signed up, you know, we'll give you free passes to kind of defray. The, I mean, if it's a regular thing.
We have a partnership. Disney has a foundation called the Disney Hand Foundation, like the glove, Mickey's glove. So we work with them, and we work with a wonderful organization called Give Kids the World out of Kissimmee, Florida, which is run by the hospitality industry. And it is a resort for kids who are visiting through various wish granting organizations like Make-A-Wish. And so between the three of us, yes, we have a great way to make it all happen for every kid who needs, who wants to wish to
I
go
have
there.
I actually have a good friend, Miss Emily Ellen, who is a spokesperson for Give Kids the World, and they have big ice cream socials and big, really fun things there.
They it's have like a Christmas every week there.
Right. It's like a an amusement park in itself, kind of, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's great, and a lot of the characters from all over the Orlando theme parks visit there. And then, you know, the kids just stay there, and then they can go visit the theme parks as well.
Some of the things that you think of as far as those situations are traditionally fun, right? It's, you know, Disney World, people know that that's fun. You know, the theme parks, that's fun. The sports, even that is fun. It was interesting to hear, and I guess Oliver was involved in one of these, where you have, I don't know if you have a partnership, maybe just to kind of defray some travel costs, but where a kid, it was their dream, it was their wish to be an airline pilot, and specifically a pilot for American Airlines. There's nothing wrong with American Airlines. I think if you're going to be one, why not? But now, how did that go? Did you have to approach them, or do you already have a relationship with them?
Well, we are a partner with American Airlines, thankfully. They work really closely with our national organization. And this little guy, William, is from the western suburbs, and he specifically asked for American because his parents travel for business quite often, and they always fly American. So he was real intrigued and had flown it before and decided that was what he wanted to do. So he has a life-threatening heart condition, has had several surgeries, and may need a transplant in the future. And so he decided that while he was feeling well, he wanted to be a pilot. And American, you know, they don't get that request every day. So they were really excited to be a part of it. And they had their crew in at O'Hare, really gave him the red carpet treatment. And then they flew him down to Dallas, and he got to visit their entire world headquarters down in Dallas. And I think it really, you know, not only touched him in a really special way, but his family was very moved by all of the support. And and then that's what we call the power of a wish. Everyone who got to be a part of William's wish came away feeling special and amazing.
Sure.
Yeah, that they got to be a little part of making this little pint-sized pilot.
And you know, these experiences these kids are going through with their health issues, it's probably can feel like they're on their own. You know, their families are on their own going through this. And to have something like Make-A-Wish kind of bring all of these people around them.
Yeah.
I mean, in addition to the experience that they're having with the wish, they're getting all these people surrounding them that are showing love and supporting them.
They do feel the support of the community, and the community has some place to channel that. When you hear that a child is ill in your child's school or maybe your neighborhood and you want to do something, there's not a whole lot you can do, but supporting them through their wish or the family in another way is a great way to get involved. And also, families tell us that it brings them, it recenters them. Everything is about the illness for a while. You know, once you get that diagnosis, things kind of spin out of control. And the wish has a way of kind of refocusing, recentering the family on things that are more normal and every day.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the organization, too, because you guys have to have individuals that can make those connections and kind of, you know, inspire those companies to support, you know, everything that you're doing. If you want to give a shout out to a couple team members that may be doing a great job, and then before we leave today, definitely want to be able to give out that website and how people can get involved.
Sure. So, while we talked to Matt Schnell earlier, we can't thank him enough because not only does his event raise an amazing amount of money that supports our wishes, but he's brought our mission to the community where he and his friends and family live. Mm-hmm. And they really know now the mission of what we're doing, and they've met Wish Families. And that to us is just as valuable as the cash donation. So thank you to Matt. We have an amazing board of directors who are our connectors. We have several committees who work on our events, our Wish Ball. We have four walks throughout the state. And then we have, like I said, the 1,700 volunteers. Each and every one of those people bring us something special to make the magic of Make-A-Wish happen.
That's great.
So give us the website one more time, and then we're going to get to our break.
Sure. Illinois.wish.org is our website.
Well, thanks so much for what you do. Thanks for coming here today and being a part of our show here on WGN. And thanks so much for all you're doing for all of those families and all of those kids. I mean, it's things like that that I think, you know, make America great. I mean, it's great stuff. So thanks again, Jessica. It is Danielle in for Frank Fontana in the Allstate Showcase Studio, 720 WGN.
Everybody get up.
WGN, it is Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase Studio in until 3 p.m. for Frank Fontana talking about you know, some of our favorite things, some of the things you know, you got for Christmas, you wanted for Christmas, some of the things that people are giving to help kids through Make-A-Wish. That was nice. It was
that
nice
was
to
nice.
Hear
it was.
About some of that. Maybe if one of the kids wanted, maybe it would be their wish to own a Fitbit. That would be something that would be easy to give. But we did have some texters, and you can do the same at 312-981-7200. We're trying to get a little insight into the Fitbit. 224 says the Fitbit, it monitors your sleeping habits, too. It lets you know the hours you slept, how many times you were awake, how many times you were restless. Embarrassing, it knows when you get up to go to the bathroom. And the times are exact in the record and still love it. It's not embarrassing. There's nothing embarrassing about that. It's absolutely natural. 708 said the best part of the Fitbit, and this is actually very cool, is that you can connect with friends and compete against each other.
I didn't know about that.
See how many steps they have. We have 14 people in our group that push each other to stay active.
That's cool.
One of our buddies from the that show Pawn Stars on the History Channel, they had a Fitbit challenge, and then Corey ended up sticking it on a paint shaking machine and had like he'd walk around the earth
That's
like
a
eight
great
times.
Great idea.
Yep. And then we're talking a little bit about some of your favorite things, whether it's the products and some of the favorite things or favorite people. And from the 630, celebrating 11 years of marriage on New Year's Day. Happy anniversary, Lisa. So that's great. So here's the thing that we did. We started it on Christmas night with some of the gifts that we were given, and we're continuing it until today. The wellness mat.
Nice.
The Rolls Royce of kitchen mats, our Ergo Chef, some of the best knives that are out there, and of course Classic Cinemas. And to be entered into win that, all you have to do is kind of share your thoughts for either what you want to do on New Year's or one of your Christmas things. But we're lucky enough to have the vice president of Ergo Chef on the line with us from Connecticut. It's Mike Save. Mike, welcome to WGN.
Hi, thanks a lot, Dane. I appreciate you having me.
I appreciate you taking time to do it. So now, as far as the knives go, you guys have been doing it and doing it right for so many years. I was excited. Of course, initially we met, you are the ones who originated Guy Fieri's Knives, our mutual friend, and then now you guys have the super successful line with Iron Chef Michael Simon.
Yeah, that's interesting. I remember meeting you for the first time in the International Houseware Show in Chicago there, and kicking off the Guy Fieri line, which is real exciting, and now to be able to work with Iron Chef Simon is really a pleasure. I mean, the guy is just a down-to-earth chef, personality, being on Food Network and also on The Chew on ABC has got us some decent exposure on the knives and really helped. But the fun thing is, as you know, talking with these chefs and working out details for the nitty-gritty on how a knife needs to be made for them and what they look for. So it was exciting doing that with Simon and coming up with his line of G10, you know, fiberglass resin handles, German blades, and all polished smooth on the sides. Precision stuff. It was really cool. And now we're working on marketing for 2016 and how we're going to really explode into the market. A lot of good stuff happening.
Michael Simon is one of those chefs that people love, and if he's got products that are to his specifications, that's awesome too. But people love to hear the story of how things start. So give the listeners that may not be as familiar with Ergo Chef, or maybe they're familiar with it but not familiar with his origins, but you guys started out to create a knife that actually helped people that had wrist problems be able to use something of a really high quality.
Yeah, I guess in a nutshell, my brother was a chef, graduated Johnson & Wales, and developed tanned and wrist pain from being in the kitchen using a traditional straight-handled chef knife. And the doctor said you have to have surgery or you have to design a tool. We were fortunate enough and truly blessed to have my dad's machine shop and his engineers work behind the scenes there with my brother and a team of little chefs, you know, his friends that were chefs, and just try different things out. And the patented angle we ended up designing and using really helped him so much that we said, well, but maybe we have, it was supposed to be a one-off, right? So maybe we have a company here. We developed 100 prototypes, threw them around the country to different culinary schools and chefs, and lo and behold, 90% of them wanted a knife. And like, wow, okay, well, let's see what we can rummage together for funds. And we all put some money together and started the company. It was started back in 2002 after, 1996 we started designing. We did many years of research, development, found a really amazing manufacturer to give us the quality, just like the top lines out of Germany and Japan, which is what my father pushed us for. You need quality if you're going to succeed. So quality is number one for us. And we started, and so it's been an amazing ride.
Well, it's been great to be able to have some of America's favorite chefs enjoy what it is that you're doing. And as you did it, and so many people, you know, from around the country got their own Ergo Chef set and knives, you know, people asked you to create more and more things. And so, I mean, you guys make so many different cool things for the kitchen. I love the tongs, the duo tongs that you guys make. The kitchen scissors are second to none. Those are some of my favorite things that you guys have. And then also, too, I mean, you go from the whole different scope from an Iron Chef all the way over and up, I guess, on an elevated barbecue situation to one of the biggest names in barbecue. Well, he's the biggest name, if you ask him. Myron Mixon, you've got a tool for him.
Wow, yeah, that was a cool sort of stumbling into. We met someone who designed the tool, David Shackett, who's another grill guy, and he said, you know, Myron would be the guy for this tool. He's like, well, let's talk to Myron and see what he thinks. So we sent him a tool, and he was, this is amazing. It's a cool tool. Well, let's do something together. So we put this wild tool together, which has got a meat flipper hook on the end of the blade that comes off it for about 2.5 inches off the tip of an 8-inch chef knife blade. And has the fully functionality of an 8-inch chef knife. You can still chop vegetables too and rock and chop with it. And an important thing that was missing, I think, was the fact that when you're grilling, you need to pop open the cold, refreshing drink, whether it be a soda or a beer. And that's something that we had to put in there. So we put a bottle opener in there right in the blade.
Oh.
And so it's a 3-in-1 tool. It really does work. I tested it for a year before they even came into our warehouse for sale. So it works really well.
Nice. Oh, it is great. And of course, from the Philly cheesesteaks, of course, you've had Tony Luke's scraper, flipper, spatula kind of thing that you've done with him for a while as well.
Yeah, you know, another great guy. I mean, all these guys have been so great. Guy Fieri really helped kick us off big time and you know, get our name out there. So I thank you so much, Guy. It really helps set the stage to work with these other companies and other celebrities. Tony Luke's knife, he just wanted a, you know, a simple sandwich knife that the everyday person at home could get their hands on. So it's a really reasonable $17.99 sandwich knife, which is multi-use, serrated edge, and he's an amazing guy. I went down there. He had me over to his place. He said, "You got to come in here." He went in the kitchen, made me 4 or 5 different flavors of his Philly sandwiches, and I'm telling you what, man, the flavors on those things are just insane. My favorite, the pork broccoli Rob sandwich.
What?
Die for.
Oh,
pork broccoli Rob sandwich is not the one you think of Philly cheesesteak, right? But the pork broccoli Rob is the bomb.
Well, you know, that's great because Philly cheesesteaks are not often known for their health properties or nutrition. And you add in broccoli, I think you're kind of offsetting some of the delicious badness.
Yeah, the broccoli Rob does it. And the flavor is, it's good.
So yeah. I'm hoping to see you guys out in, you mentioned Guy, we've mentioned him a few times at our mutual friend's birthday party out in California coming up next month. So hopefully we'll see you guys there. And what's great about Ergo is you guys at Ergo Chef have, you have equipment, you have knives for pretty much every price point, everywhere from like the Crimson line, which is, you know, top of the line stuff, the Michael Simon stuff, all the way to some of your more affordable lines. So anyone really, no matter where they're at, can get themselves into a great Ergo Chef set.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, we tried to differentiate and, you know, do the, from the retail, from the lower cost retail point to the, I guess, restaurant that wants to just throw some cheaper knives in there and not worry about their line cooks beating them up and stuff. And then to the better forged and G10 handled Pro Series Crimson and the Michael Simon. Yeah, so it's we got a pretty good spread now. I think we just have to look at a few pieces to add in the coming months, like a big heavy meat cleaver, maybe a scimitar in the Prodigy line, which is our restaurant line. A lot of the barbecue guys are calling us, say, "Guy, you got a scimitar yet? I want one of those big 14-inch blades. You know, they curve up and wow, okay.
Yeah, like the Iron Sheik would have, like in pro wrestling. And of course, I think a wine saber would actually be something that people would like as well. If you could do that with the sort of a comfortable handle for those sommeliers out there and those people kind of opening the bottles of champagne as we get towards New Year's. So for people who want to get more information, get themselves into their own set of Ergo Chef knives as we get into 2016 and have it be one of their favorite things as it is ours, what's that website again?
www.ergochef.com, and they can call us anytime too at our toll-free number, 1-877-796-0884. Yeah, I really appreciate your time, Dane. It's great talking to you and catching up.
He is the vice president of the Ergo Chef Knife Company, the one and only Mike Stabe. Thanks so much for being in WGN.
Thank you, Dane.
Thanks, Mike. And just as he's described all of those amazing things, one of my personal favorites, I got him to share one. So everybody who 312-981-7200 enters in today with their thoughts on Christmas, either what they got or whatever, going to be entered to win. We will announce that before the end of the program, including this lady who she's 5.5 months pregnant from the 773 and wanted a specific shark vacuum for Christmas, and Santa delivered. Yep, couldn't be happier. I guess I have entered a new phase of life. Don't think about it like that. Think of it as a clean phase.
That's right, a cleaning phase. It starts to happen as you become an adult. You start to get vacuums and things for
nice.
Christmas.
Well, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. It's Dane Neal in for Frank Fontana until 3, Allstate Showcase Studio on 720 WGN.
It's the freaking weekend. Maybe I'm about to have me some fun.
It's the freaking weekend, and we're going to have some fun. 720 WGN, Daniel in studio. I do have Beth Peterson in studio to my right, riding shotgun, as we kind of break down some of the things that people got, enjoyed, loved on Christmas, and some of the things that people have texted in is, Santa bought me a toaster oven. Can't wait to reheat leftover tater tots. Now,
nice.
Come on. These are what we call in the business simple pleasures.
That's right.
Right?
A nice toasted tater tot.
You're getting
a
shark vacuum. I thought that was pretty, like, well, that's nice. You know, it's not a brand new car.
No, but those things, they make a difference in your life.
Toaster oven. Can't wait to reheat a tater tot. Love being with my family. We live in the southern part of the country. So a Wisconsin Christmas was fantastic. Now,
nice.
Here's the thing. I don't know how far north. I know that WGN signal reaches far off into many states throughout the greater Midwest, and so I'm not sure how far north you have to go in Wisconsin to find snow.
This year may be kind of far north.
We haven't gotten close to that at all.
Yeah.
So from a perfect Christmas standpoint, do you need snow? I'm okay with it being warm.
It was kind of nice this year not to have it, but I missed it a little bit. I kind of have to say I did miss it. A little, you know, instead of the rain, maybe just a little bit of the white would have been kind of nice. I don't know. Well, you know what? I didn't ask you, Dane. What did you get for Christmas?
Oh, well, let's just accept that it is and has been for many years not about me.
Right.
So I think I got some really good stuff. I got some cabinet stuff for our new garage. I got
nice.
And this is another thing too. I got a Harry Shave Club thing.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, it's practical. As practical as warm tater tots, but it's practical. It's something that you use on a regular basis, and it was great. As far as for me personally, I got a sweater.
Nice.
I got
some sweater's other, good. Yeah. You're going to be able to use the sweater hopefully in January this year.
I hope I never use it.
Right. Let's hope it just always stays 50 degrees in Chicago.
I hope I never use it. And we're going to get a suit. So I got some gift certificates from my mom. So some really good stuff.
Oh, it was pretty good to be Dane this year.
It was all right.
Yeah.
It was definitely all right. Well, it's all about the kids. You know, you want them to be able to enjoy it.
That's the kind
of thing years from now, you don't want them in therapy. Be talking about how somehow they were slighted. You know?
They probably will anyway, but yeah, for sure.
One of the things that people are getting and are giving and that people are appreciating that I have not, you know, I don't have too much exposure to, but I think it sounds really cool, is some of these clubs and boxes,
mm-hmm.
and you know, Birch Box is one.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Esther's got that where every time you get, you know, every month or so, I guess you get a thing of samples.
You get samples with kind of like larger samples of beauty products. It's a very, very cool concept because, you know, you get to, instead of, you know, having to like invest a lot of money in a line of cosmetics, you get to try things out and pick out things that you like the best and like see what's new on the market. I like something called the Hatchery Box because it's like a sample of different food products, like gourmet kind of small batch food products. And there's a lot of those out there as well. So I get like a monthly little subscription to the Hatchery Box.
Blue Apron is one where it's that's one that Oliver does, and he explained it. It seems really cool because what it takes is what
that's
would be,
more of like kind of a cool meal plan situation.
It's traditionally kind of diverse, sort of unapproachable dishes that you would probably never make yourself.
Yeah.
And they have unique ingredients from different cultures that you would that would be very expensive if you wanted to go get a giant, you know, jar of this special curry and you're only going to need, you know, a teaspoonful. It's just it's not practical.
Chef created recipes and they put all of the different ingredients in there. That's kind of a cool thing to give as a gift, I think.
Well,
I'd like to get it.
Yeah,
for sure.
And what's great about that Blue Apron? I don't know anything about them. They're not a spot. I mean, I don't know that much about them. I did a little bit of research when he was telling me about it. But what they do is they send you everything that you need. It always only takes about an hour to prepare it,
right.
So it isn't something that's crazy and you get it half made. You know, mm-hmm. like you're remodeling a bathroom or something, and then you never get to it. And it gives you all of the items that you need as well. The only thing I think you need is like maybe salt, pepper, and olive oil.
Maybe an egg. Sometimes.
I don't even know.
Something
it would be tough to send an egg.
Maybe an egg might be hard to send. But not as easy as a toasted tater tot in a brand new toaster oven, but still sounds pretty easy to do.
So, and I wanted to mention too, as far, you can't do this in a toaster oven, but Sean had mentioned he was excited about some of the foods that his mom was making for him because
he's a lucky guy.
Yeah.
Sean.
I mean, for our listeners out in Des Moines, Iowa, you know that, you know, Howard Johnson's, that's like I think they've got a burgeoning food scene out there. But when you are in kind of Louisiana, New Orleans, you can have gumbo.
This is serious business there.
So Sean, talk a little bit about some of the wonderful things that you had, because it seems like for you, you know, whereas I got a gift certificate to, Men's Warehouse, and some people are hoping to get a Fitbit. All you need is just really great food.
Great food is fine for me. I was telling you guys what my mom does for all the men in the family. Thanksgiving, we all get our personal sweet potato pies. And then I talked about my carrot cake as my gift for Christmas. And then we switch over to my grandmother for New Year's Day and the wonderful pot of gumbo.
Just wondering what time we come over on New Year's Day.
Right. It's like, why the following?
And what a better way to spend New Year's Day eating gumbo and watching college football.
Fantastic.
Doesn't get any better than that.